जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वाला गिरिवार धारी गोपी जन वाला गिरिवार धारी यशोरानंदन ब्रजरंगनंदन यशोरानंदन ब्रजरंगनंदन जमुना तीरा वनचारी जमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव बिहारी हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, jayam Vishnupada paramahamsa parivraja kacharja stotara sata shishma. His language is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Iskandi viti fangra charja Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantaya Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gautamanandi samaveta bhakta vrinda ki. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So today's class is on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8. I think it's text number 17 and 18. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, supposed to be chapter 26. But since the verses are the same and there's more elaborate purport in chapter 8, we'll do chapter 10, text 8, text 14 and 15, which corresponds to chapter 26, text 17 and 18. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we can all do text number 14 and then we'll do responsibly text number 15. Pragayam Vasudevasya Kvache Jatastavatmaja Vasudeva Iti Sriman Abhigya Sampachakshate. Word for word first. For the next verse. Text 15, word for word. Bahuni. Various. Santi, there are. Namani, names. Rupani, forms. Cha, also. Sutasya, of the sun. Te, your. Guna, karma, anurupani. According to his attributes and activities. Tani, them, aham, I, Veda, no, no janaha, not ordinary persons. Now Sanskrit for that verse. There you go. Bahuni santi namani, rupani cha sutasyate. Gunakarmanurupani Tanyaham Veda no jana Bahuni santi namani Rupani cha sutasyate Gunakarmanurupani Tanyaham Veda no jana Bahuni santi namani Rupani cha sutasyate Gunakarmanu rupani Tanyaham Veda no jana. Thank you.
sutasyate gunakarmana rupani tanyam virajo jana bahuni santi namani rupani ca sutasyate gunakarmana rupani tanyam virajo jana.
Going to do the translation for text 14 and then go to 15. Okay. So for text 14, the translation was, for many reasons, this beautiful son of yours sometimes appeared previously as the son of Vasudeva. Therefore, those who are learned sometimes call the child Vasudeva. And the purport is, Gargamuni indirectly disclosed this child was originally born as the son of Vasudeva, although he is acting as your child. Generally he is your child, but sometimes he is the son of Vasudeva. And of course, to catch that, because we're actually in chapter 26, we're back on chapter 8, and it explains that as this, a couple verses before, this is chapter 14, but it starts off, I'm just going to do a couple verses before that, just so we can understand a little bit of that mystery on that point, that text 1 was Sukadeva Goswami said, O Maharaj Prickett, the priest of the Yadu dynasty, namely Gargamuni, who was highly elevated in austerity and penance, was then inspired by Vasudeva to go see Nanda Maharaj at his home. So that's the first clue, because Gargamuni generally wouldn't be there. There's other family priests, and he's wasn't a local resident, and he's the spiritual master for the Yadu dynasty, and the Yadu dynasty is generally understood as Kshatriyas, and here is Nanda Maharaj, who's more in Vaishya. So it says, when Nanda Maharaj saw Gargamuni present in his home, Nanda was so pleased that he stood up to receive him with folded hands. Although seeing Gargamuni with his eyes, Nanda Maharaj could appreciate that Gargamuni was a hoksaja, that is, he was not an ordinary person seen by the material senses. So I just wanted to mention there's a lot of things that are going on that we're trying to catch, we're trying to understand, even though we only talk about a verse for maybe a half an hour or another verse, there's so much going on in these different verses that it's quite astonishing. And specifically, before we go to the next verse, on this particular verse about calling Krishna Vasudeva because he's the son of Vasudeva, there's a very nice purport also on this point in Canto 4, Chapter 3, Text 23. This is between Lord Shiva and Sati, and he says, Lord Shiva says, I'm always engaged in offering obeisances to Lord Vasudev in pure Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is always pure consciousness in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Vasudev, is revealed without any covering. So there's another meaning to this word, how Krishna has the name Vasudev as the son of Vasudev. And in the purport to that verse, Prabhupada is actually over three pages, about almost four pages long, the purport to that verse. So he wanted us to hear this. So I'm just going to say a little bit of it. The living entity in his constitutionally pure. In the Vedic literature, it said that the soul is always pure, uncontaminated by material attachment. The identification of the body with the soul is due to misunderstanding. As soon as one is fully Krishna conscious, it is to be understood that one is in pure original constitutional position, in his original pure constitutional position. This state of existence is called Shuddha Sattva, which means that it is transcendental to the material qualities. Since this Shuddha Sattva existence is under the direct action of the internal potency, in that state, the activities of material consciousness stop. For example, when iron is put into fire, it becomes warm and then red hot. Although it is iron, it acts like fire. Similarly, copper, surcharged with electricity, stops acting like copper and acts like electricity. So, Bhagavad Gita 14:26 explains that Brahma Bhuyapakalpate. So it says, there's one point I was trying to get to. I'm skipping a couple paragraphs. In pure devotional service, one simply serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a matter of duty, without reason, without being impeded by any material condition. That is called the Vishuddha Sattva or Vasudev. Because in that stage, the Supreme Person of Godhead, Krishna, is revealed in the heart of the devotee. Srila Jiva Goswami has very nicely described this Vasudev or Vishuddha Sattva in his Bhagavata Samdarpa. He explains that Astutara Sattva 108 is added to the name of the spiritual master to indicate one who is situated in Shuddha Sattva, or in the transcendental stage of Vasudev. The word Vasudev is also used for other purposes. For example, Vasudev also means one who is everywhere or all-pervading. So it goes on, but I always found that part fascinating, because we always say Astatara Sattva, Jayam Vishnupad, Paramahamsa, Parajakatara, Astatara Sattva, Sriman, His Divine Grace, A.C., Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. So, a lot of words that we use, we just get used to using them, and not always are the definitions present in our understanding. So, because this is one of the places I had saw that, I thought I'd share that with us. Because we're increasing, that there's subtle aspects here in Krishna consciousness that we're learning. Just like I was reading today in Bhagavad Gita 15:11, where it says, the endeavoring transcendentalists, so we're endeavoring transcendentalists, who are situated in self-realization, can see all this clearly. But those whose minds are not developed, who are not situated in self-realization, cannot see what's taking place, although they may try to. So there's a mystery about Krishna consciousness, this rahasya, to enter into the mysteries of my understanding. And we may go into that a little bit more, because there's a lot in these verses that even more than meets the eye. Okay, so now I'll read text 15 and the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Text 15. For this son of yours, there are many forms and names according to his transcendental qualities and activities. These are known to me, but people in general do not understand them. Just like that verse that I read from the Bhagavad Gita, they may try to, but unless they're situated in self, in endeavoring in self-realization, which is a Brahmin in our line, they read the Bhagavad Gita, never lose a time you did not exist. So then who is that that did not exist? That's us. So by accepting that, we're changing bodies, dehi nos minyatat dehi. So we're that part of who we are. That's who we are. We're changing bodies. So when one accepts that, even theoretically, to be open to hear more about it, that's the Brahman. And as he increases in his activities, manifesting his determination, then he usually takes initiation, then he takes second initiation, then he chants mantras that are appropriate for, that Prabhupada felt appropriate for us, as we had that preliminary Nasta Prayeshu Agvad Veshu Nityam Bhagavata, to say by regularly serving, then almost the bulk of the modes of passion ignorance have been minimized. They're now predominated by your goodness, your regulation, and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, serving the devotees. So then the mind is clear enough that one starts to understand that there's another plane of existence besides this plane of fruit of activities. Because the Brahman being in goodness, he has the ability to understand what is passion and ignorance. He's taught by Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita. And he understands that, but he's still more or less controlled to some degree by that. So he starts to, in his heart, have another conception of reality that he's worshiping. He actually worships the this other plane of existence, which is governed under the internal potency, the pleasure potency of the Lord, and he meditates on this, and he finds that he's getting help that's coming down to him to be able to continue his worship and his meditation on this, and how the spiritual master, he's by offering obeisances to him, trying to please the spiritual master, he's getting this ability, and he worships like that, and it goes, of course, Lord Chaitanya has made a special situation for us, which is exactly what the verse is about, is these names of Krishna according to his activities. And I have some nice, if I can get to them, purports where Prabhupada talked about how Krishna, well, I'll just say it, Krishna, sometimes they say that God has no name, but he has names according to his activities and his pastimes. And specifically, Lord Chaitanya, he said that he's very pleased when he's addressed by the names of him and his devotees, like Nanda Nandana. O son of Maharaj Nanda, I am your eternal servant. So Krishna, in the Shikshastika prayers, so Prabhupada points out, this is because Krishna likes to be identified with his devotees. So his names and activities, that's a very special way of addressing Krishna. Of course, we have the primary names and secondary names from the Harinam Chintamani, where that's been explained. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Haridasa Thakur, Lord Chaitanya, it's coming like that. And it's explaining that in devotional service, we're learning how to be pleasing to Krishna, doing things that will please Krishna. So specifically, in this age, Nama Rupa, Rupe, Krishna Avatar. So Krishna has appeared, there's an incarnation, Krishna has appeared in his name, Nama Rupa, incarnation. And these are what we're hearing about today, these different names of his pastimes. So when we say these different names of Krishna to please Krishna, there's more behind it than just parrot. And as we become free from the 10 offenses in the clearing stage and in the pure stage, one would say that these mantras are, these names of Krishna are alive. So it's an interesting phenomena to notice how things that are alive become dead, and things that are dead become alive in Krishna consciousness. I think it changes a bit. You know, because we say, well, this body, is this body actually ever alive? No, it only appears to be alive, like your car, because there's someone in it. And then these mantras, which appear to be like words, they're actually alive because they're non-different from Krishna. So our minds are being developed by hearing Krishna consciousness all the time. So I'm going to read the purport. I'm going to try again. This is for text 15. Bahuni. The Lord has many names, Advaita, Achyuta, Anadir, Antam, Rupam, Anadyam, Puranam, Prana, Prun, Navayovanam, Cha. I know Navayovanam. He's never met. It is stated in the Brahma Samhita 5:33, the Lord is one, but he has many forms and many names. It is not that because Garga Muni gave the child the name Krishna, that was his only name. He has other names, such as Bhaktivatsala. Notice that that's the first one that Prabhupada puts, Bhaktivatsala. You know what that name means? Everybody knows. That's one of our main... What is it? Yes, Krishna. He's the friend of his devotees. He likes the devotees. That's... We're always praying that maybe someday, by following and serving Srila Prabhupada, we'll become qualified just like that. You know, by serving, you become just like whatever you serve. So if you serve the pure devotee, you also become the pure devotee. Giri Hari, Govinda, and Gopal. If we analyze the Nirutkati or somatic derivation of the word Krishna, we find na signifies he stops the repetition of birth and death. And Krish means samsatartha or existence. So it's interesting if you look at it, we say samsara dava, that the fire is extinguished from the cloud, ganaganat, the cloud that's moving, a moving cloud of nectar, ganaganatvam, and it extinguishes this fire. So it's spoken in a nice figurative language, but here it's also mentioned that it's the very derivation of the word Krishna. So the na means it stops birth and death, and Krish is the sat. Artha. So of course, without knowing much, but you know, artha is desired. Sat artha. So your eternal, it's, no? Meaning? Krishna is the whole of existence. Also, Krishna means attraction, and Nam means ananda, or bliss. Krishna is known as Mukunda, because he gives everyone spiritual, eternal, blissful life. Unfortunately, because of the living entity's little independence, the living entity wants to deprogram the program of Krishna. This is the material disease. Nonetheless, because Krishna wants to give transcendental bliss to the living entities, he appears in various forms. Therefore, he is called Krishna. Because Garga Muni was an astrologer, he knew what others did not know. Yet Krishna has so many names that even Garga Muni did not know them all. It is to be concluded that Krishna, according to his transcendental activities, has many names and forms. So, being devotees now, or aspiring devotees, in this day and age, Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatya, Mita, that this is our means, is these names, everything. You've invested all of your transcendental potencies, all of your transcendental potencies in your holy name, and there's no hard and fast rule for chanting these names. There's offenses, but I mean, you can chant the holy name anywhere at any time, as opposed to many Vedic mantras that have to be at a specific place and a specific time. So, a couple of the points that I also had one other thing that when I read this, I took quite delight in this, so I'm going to share this with you too. And this also is relevant in the point that one has to aspire to please Krishna, and as Krishna is pleased, he reveals to you what is actually the meanings are. It's not that you can get the meaning of things by reading a lot, or by even though if reading is done in the proper mentality, that of course that's devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, to please the spiritual master. We in Krishna consciousness, everything is awarded to us. That's the humility. I was noticing we offer obeisances, but so you come in, you see devotees lying on the floor offering obeisances, but other non-devotees, you don't usually see them on the floor unless they fall over. And then they'll use it for a commercial. Help, I've fallen over and I can't get up, you know, I broke my hip, or there's different situations that if one isn't humble, then he falls. He's still in the same position, but one, he gets down gently under his own power to offer my respects. And the other one is he falls over and he hurts himself, and perhaps then will offer, meantime you're down, you might as well offer your obeisances. Why waste a perfectly good opportunity while you're doing a face plant on the green? So you might as well, oh, thank you, Krishna. So there's a couple words here that I just found to be extraordinary. It was in chapter, it's in 10th canto, but it was chapter 87. And it was in text 2. Text 1 to that verse is very interesting. It says, Sri Parikit said, O Brahmana, speaking to the personified Vedas, how can the Vedas directly describe the Supreme Absolute Truth, which cannot be described in words? The Vedas are limited to describing the qualities of material nature. But the Supreme Lord is devoid of these qualities. Being transcendental to all material manifestation and their causes. So, that's a good question, isn't it? Actually, the answer is quite astonishing also. But I'm not going to get into the whole answer. I'm just going to get into a part of it. because that's, everybody actually should study that a bit to understand how this is possible. So the answer, the second verse, which I'm going to read a part of the purport, but I'll read the verse first. Sukadeva Goswami said, the Supreme Lord manifests the material intelligence, senses, and mind, and vital airs of the living entity, so they could indulge their desires for sense gratification, take repeated birth to engage in fruitive activities, become elevated in future lives, and ultimately obtain liberation. So the purports by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur are always astonishing how he reads into it. It says that one increases his seeing power as his devotional service matures. He actually sees more and more things. So he shares it with us, and he said that this answer was not actually a very good answer to his question. So the way that it's explained in the purport, he said that he compares it to this. He says, but if you're being questioned and your answer is like saying, today I ate sweet rice, then someone asked, where are you going now? Similarly, the question, how are the Vedas capable of describing Brahman, an irrelevant answer had been given. The Lord created the intelligence, mind, and prana for the jiva's enjoyment and liberation. So he says, in answering this objection, we say, no, that is not the case. Answer to subtle questions must often be phrased indirectly. So I kind of like that part, because a lot of times I answer things like that and I get in trouble. Why are you beating around the bush? Why don't you just say it? So here I found some, there's even a Sanskrit word for it, we discussed earlier. As Sri Krishna himself said to Uddhava, prakshavada, parokshavada. What's the next couple of words? Rasya paroksham mama cha priyavim. The Vedic seers and mantras deal in esoteric terms, and I also am pleased by such confidential descriptions. So Krishna, it's an interesting phenomenon. If you look at the 64 arts of in the Brahma Samhita, I think text 37, it lists the different arts that they perform in the spiritual world. And a couple of them are like that. Sometimes they speak in riddles. Where is your vasa? Is it vasa? Krishna. One of the examples. So everything has got a spice to it in Krishna consciousness. So if you just try to take it in the flat understanding, you're missing almost everything. So in that same way, these holy names are, there's so much more than what appears on the tip of the tongue. So I had found some points on that. Let me see, how are we doing? Well, I'm going to stop soon for questions, because I only have about another 2 hours here to go through. Because it's such a wonderful topic. Just like here it says, Lord Chaitanya, this is a talk where Prabhupada was speaking. Lord Chaitanya addresses the Supreme Lord as Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Krishna is very pleased if one addresses him as the son of Vasudeva, Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj. Krishna likes to be named in relation to his pure devotees. Therefore, he's called Yasoda Nandana, Nanda Nandana, Vasudeva Nandana, Radhika Ramana, and so on. Lord Chaitanya addresses Krishna in this way. That was from the teachings of Lord Kapila. verse 41. And then another place he says, this was in Bombay in 1974, he says, so our business is to pray to Krishna to get out of this struggling heart, hard struggle for existence in this material world. So we can pray like that. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us this prayer, no other prayer. Adyinanda Tukarjan. Anybody recognize it yet? I'm sorry. It's a sixastika. Oh Krishna. Krishna is very pleased when we address him with his devotees. Nanda Maharaj is the devotee playing as the father of Krishna. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya is addressing Krishna as Adinanda Tukunkuja. Krishna, you are born out of the body of Nanda Maharaj. This is very pleasing to Krishna. So that's also nice. And so Saranangati, surrender to Krishna is our only business. This Krishna consciousness, this movement, is trying to teach people to not to declare independence, which is not possible, nor to try to be happy in this world without Krishna. That is not possible. That is our propaganda. Whatever you do, you take shelter of Krishna or God. Krishna is the most explicit term for God. God has many names. Krishna is the perfect name. God has no name, some philosophers say like that. No name means that his name is understood by his different action. Just like Krishna is sometimes called Yasoda Nandana because he has accepted Mother Yasoda to become his mother. Therefore, Krishna's name is Yasoda Nandana. Krishna's name is Partha Sarathi. Why? Because Krishna has accepted to become a chariot driver of Arjuna. Partha means Arjuna and Sarathi means chariot driver. So Krishna's name became Partha Sarathi. Krishna used to steal butter from the stock of his mother's butter stock. Therefore, Krishna's name is So, this way, Krishna's name are his activities. Krishna has unlimited number of activities, and according to such activities, he has unlimited names. But the primary name, which is acceptable in all circumstances, is Krishna. Krishna means all attractive. Krishna attracts everyone. And then, of course, if you think about that, you can take that all attractive element and you can expand on that Kamadevaya Vidya. Everything that you are attracted to, and then you can, a thought-provoking idea. Okay. And then, of course, we did say this, Kali Kale Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar. So Prabhupada comments on that so nicely too, that Krishna descends means sometimes he personally descends. Sometimes he descends in his incarnation. Sometimes he descends as sound vibration. Sometimes he descends as a devotee. There are many different categories of his descendants. And at the present moment, this Krishna consciousness, this movement, at the present moment, this Krishna has descended in his holy name. You should understand that. Krishna, Kali, Kale, Nama, Rupe, Krishna Avatar. This is the statement of Lord Chaitanya. In this age of Kali, Krishna has descended in sound vibration form. Sound is also one of the form. Just like, it goes to Omkar there. And then he says, so this is the contribution of Lord Chaitanya. He says, this Kali, Kala, Nama, Rupe, Krishna Avatar, if you chant or if you associate with those who chant the holy name of Krishna, then you will get the highest perfectional stage of life. We should accept that Krishna has descended at the present moment in the form of his holy name. And that was in 1968 in Montreal. So there's so many different places like that. And then he goes into the last point that I'm going to make is Abbas means just like before sunrise, you'll find the darkness is off. But it is not sunlight. It is different from the sunlight. But still, there is dawn. You can see everything distinctly. Similarly, first there is offensive name. And then if you avoid the 10 kinds of offenses, then gradually it becomes Namabhas. And Srila Haridasa Thakur has said to Namacharya that Namabhas, one becomes liberated. There was some argument between Haridasa Thakur and one Brahmin in the office of Raghunath Das Goswami's father, uncle. So there was some high-level talks on this Namabhas. So by Namabhas, one becomes liberated. By chanting Hare Krishna mantra, offensive, one becomes materially happy or distressed. But when one comes to the stage of Namabhas, he becomes liberated. And when he chants the pure name, there's Krishna Prema. Just like Rupa Goswami, he was chanting, and we are also chanting. But we are not chanting in the stage of Rupa Goswami or Sananta Goswami and Haridasa Thakur. Actually, if we come to that stage, then there will be Krishna Prema, love for Krishna. Just like Rupa Goswami had said, what shall I chant with one tongue and two ears? If there were millions of tongues and trillions of ears, I could chant something. And we cannot finish even 16 rounds because we have not created our taste for chanting. Still, we are in the Namaparada stage. But don't be disappointed. Go on chanting. And you'll come to the right position. Namabhas, then Shuddha Nam. Everything requires gradual development. So this Nam is another incarnation of Krishna. Nama Rupe, Krishna Avatar. Nam is because name and Krishna is non-different. That's the Sanskrit word. I'm going to have to skip that. There is no difference. Here in the material world, there's a difference between the name and the substance, but Advaita Gyan, in the absolute world, there is no such distinction. The name and the person, the same, identical. So actually, when we chant Hare Krishna mantra, we are directly associated with Krishna, because the name is incarnation of Krishna, Name Rupe, Krishna Avatar. Therefore, if we are sensible, then we should take very much respectful attitude to the name, and because name and Krishna, same. Suppose Krishna came here, how much respectful we should be immediately. So similarly, when we chant Hare Krishna mantra, we should know Krishna is there. Therefore, we should be very much cautious and respectful, not neglectful. That is offense. That is offense. If you become inattentive, that is offense. You should also know this. Try to avoid. Krishna is giving us a chance to meet him in so many ways. Nama, Rupa, Leela, Parikara, Dish, Vashishta. He is giving us a chance in the form of name, in the form of deity, in the form of his pastimes, in the form of his paraphernalia. That was a lecture in Vrindavan on the nectar of devotion in October 30th, 1972. So I'll read the verses again. There's two verses we had. It says, for many reasons, this beautiful son of yours sometimes appeared previously as the son of Vasudeva. He said, sometimes appeared because he was speaking incognito. He wasn't exactly saying. Just so many fascinating aspects about this. They also they couldn't do it publicly because then Kamsa may have found out. They would say, "Why is it that Gargamuni, he's here? He's usually with the Kshatriyas talking to Vaishya. Then this must be the son of Vasudeva." So they went to the cow shed because it's a solitary place and it's pure because of the cows. So they performed this name-giving ceremony in the cow shed. So, and he was also speaking a little covered. So if you understood, you understood. And if you didn't understand, you wouldn't understand. All right. So the next verse was, For this son of yours, there are many forms and names according to his transcendental qualities and activities. These are known to me, but people in general do not understand them. So can we take any questions or comments?
Oh, thank you.
So just trying to understand these part of the verse where he says, generally he's known as the son of Nanda. Sometimes he's Vasudeva. Is that like sometimes he's not born?
That was the whole point that we were saying, that at least...
Or is that just some semantics?
At least a third of the class was on that point, is that he's speaking indirectly. I had those two verses where I was explaining how they don't say it straightforward. They're saying it in a tricky way. And Pran, you're warming up for something on that point or not? Oh, he's going to explain it then. If you
don't. But I remember Sanatan Goswami Pad explained this in his persona. That
a little closer.
Gargamuni, he's in a corner of a cow barn, he's speaking. But what Nanda Maharaj is hearing is another thing.
Oh, good point.
Because Gargamuni is coming, he belongs to Vasudeva's priest, Kshatriya. Vasudeva Maharaj, he's also under the supervision of Kamsa with his wife. And yeah, there's surveillance. All the time the Kamsa's people are watching. But middle of the night, every day, early morning, he makes a mark on the wall. Jiva Goswami Pad gives 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. Because nobody in the whole world knows that Nanda Maharaj's son is actually his son. Only he thinks he knows and his wife knows. Nobody else. And Vrajavasi, they don't know. Only him and his wife. And even the Jogamaya, who transformed into Mahamaya from the hand of Kamsa, did not tell actually that the person you're going to kill is in Nanda Maharaj. She said he's born somewhere else. So if you look at the Prabhupada translated like this, so it's like a kind of mystery. So Vasudeva Maharaj every day with a chalk, he makes 1 day, 2 days. When it came to 99 days, immediately, oh no, tomorrow going to be 100 days. And the child's name has to be given by the Kshatriya priest. He's my son. It cannot be by Vaishya priest. But there is an inclination that both of their father, grandfather, is coming from a Kshatriya. So in that sense, Nanda Maharaj received Gargamuni, because also Gargamuni Prabhupada writes that he wrote a compilation of books on astrology. So Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda is very excited to receive them. So when Gargamuni is giving the name Vasudeva, son Vasudeva, not necessarily Nanda Maharaj is thinking like that, but he did mention that he is the son also of your cousin Vasudeva. So Nanda Maharaj is thinking maybe some life this boy was born from my cousin, this life is born from me. This is what Nanda Maharaj is listening. But that's not what Gargamuni is saying. That's also it meant. Both are right. So kind of like this.
That's also just thinking how a Brahmin, he's truthful. So he wants to say the truth, but at the same time, so you can imagine, sometimes you get in a situation like that where they say, I'm going to say the truth, but I'm going to say it in such a way that you may not understand it, but I know that I said the truth. So he said the truth, but what Nanda Maharaj heard, he made it so it was juggling a little bit. So he gave him the ability to maintain what he wanted to think without clearing that.
You have to go back to the story of the beginning chapter of this 10th temple, that where Vasudev Maharaj, when he picked up his ball and crossed the Jamuna and went to Vrindavan, was there a son of Mother Yashoda? So Jiva Goswami Pad giving one answer, Sanatana Goswami Pad giving also another answer. The two, both are correct. One is giving that Vasudev Maharaj, when he came, he saw only one girl, daughter, was born of Mother Yashoda, and she had a hard, long labor. She is kind of little bit tired and sleepy. Even the child is born, the daughter is there. So he saw, didn't see any other child, only one daughter. So he placed his son and picked up the daughter in exchange and came back. And Jiva Goswami Pad gives that in Gopal Champu also is there. Vasudev and Devaki had a conversation with the Lord where he had a four arms. In order to become two arms, at the same time Mother Yashoda also had a one son, one daughter. Mm-hmm. And that daughter, Jogamaya, brought here. So then when Devaki, out of her duality means she loves her son, but at the same time she is fear that Kamsa killed all the sons before. So he may kill also this one out of affection, because the nature of affection has a losing discrimination. So even though she knows it's God, but still she... So at that time, the suggestion was that if you can become a small child, you can hide it. So then Krishna gave the proposal, no problem. I will become a small child and take me to Nanda Bhavan, and then I will be taken care of. When I grow a little bigger, I'll come back. So that time lapse was that the child Yogamaya brought in. So in a sense that another, Sanatana Goswami Pad says when Vasudev Maharaj went to Vrindavan, then there was actually Nanda Maharaj's son was there too, but Yogamaya covered that he could not see. So
well, for us, there's... Would you answer your question all right? Did you get your answer to your question? Okay. That for us, we can only understand so much. But there is another capacity that is developing, and that's relishing. Because understanding has a certain amount that if you use it improperly, it turns into pride. So, but relish is always, you can do that safely. Because we're at a particular level in our Krishna consciousness. That means we can only understand so much. You know, because of our different offenses or purity or the way they... It takes time. Everything takes time. And what to do in that time frame where you're hankering, but you're not... It takes time for fruit. If you plant a tree, it takes time. There's another question over here if you... and then it comes back. So, if you try to go above your realization level, you could get caught into pride. Best to see where we are and nourish that spot where we are, and that can be done through relish without the problem of pride causing the dunda box in a different uncontrolled way. Smash, you know, you hit the floor. No. Yes.
Hare Krishna. So, mine's not so much a question as an anecdote I heard, but it's in relation to when you were speaking of the dandavat and the different reasons how people lie down on the floor.
Yeah.
One is devotees surrendering, and the other is because they fell somehow. Some people fell. So, I might have told this before. I heard it from Govinda Dasi, who had just heard the story from two Russian devotees that had been devotees for a long, long time. But before they were devotees, both husband and wife were KGB agents. This is before the Iron Curtain fell down. Somehow or another, the husband confiscated one of Srila Prabhupada's books, and he was told it was a very dangerous thing. So of course that made him very interested, and he started reading the book in private and becoming a devotee. And he tried to convince his wife that she was having none of it. She was not only a KGB agent, she was also the mayor of the town in which they lived. So he tried and tried. He became vegetarian. I think he started offering food, but still she was just firm. So then he plotted in his mind. He said, the one thing my wife is attached to is the television. So how can I get her to... He put the Bhagavad Gita on top of the television and unplugged the TV. So when she came home from work one day, she really wanted to watch TV. It wasn't working. She had to get down on the floor and reach behind it, in order to plug in the TV. So inadvertently, completely unconsciously, she was paying obeisances to the Bhagavad Gita. Next day, she became a devotee, started reading the book and accepting everything.
So you can see the transcendental intelligence of the devotee. Yeah, Prabhupada would say, somehow or other, get them. The Harinams. One time Prabhupada said, these Harinams, they're forcing everyone to become pious. Just like we know when people used to curse each other, curse people, and they would cause them to have impious activities. React, by cursing. So these are blessings that they're agyata sukriti, it's sometimes mentioned, that they're giving them pious activities even without them knowing it, forcing them to become pious. Thank you.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. I had a comment and a question. The first thing I was just thinking is, how do we address each other, or do we address each other? I was thinking, I really appreciate when I come to the temple, you say in a very lovingly way, Haribo Mathura, nice to see you. And I feel very welcome. And I feel like that, to do that, it means we're always thinking of serving Krishna, serving the Vaishnavas, serving Prabhupada. And am I taking that around all the time, or is it just when I go and I'm told to do a service here or do a service there? But I feel like it really will inspire everybody when they feel like somebody cares about me.
And you know, there's a, I think it's a verse by Lord Shiva to Parvati, Vishnu Radhanam, you know that one? Yeah, a couple of people know it. Where it says, what's the best kind of worship? He says, the best kind of worship is worship of Vishnu. But better than the worship of Vishnu is the worship of his devotees. Or paraphernalia related to Krishna, like that. So that's our training. And if Gopi, Bharata, Dasa, 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 Anudas, that Lord Chaitanya, he never, he says, I'm a servant of the servant, of the servant, of the servant, of the servant, of those devotees who are the Gopis, like that. So it's... Krishna, and Prabhupada, he says everything so charmingly. He says that if you try to approach a very rich man, it's very difficult to do. Like if you wanted to see the president, you think you'd have a chance, I'm just going to go see the president. Who's there? Mathura, tell the president I'm here to see him. Oh, okay, come right in. Not likely. You probably wouldn't get that opportunity. But if he's out there walking his dog sometime, and you come by and you give the dog a little milk bone treat or something like that, and the dog wags his tail, he looks at you very pleased. Oh, so Prabhupada would say, I'm the dog of Krishna. He says, so love me, love my dog. He says, so what can we do to please Krishna? But he says, since I'm acting like the dog for Krishna, he says, you just do something to please Krishna's dog. And then Krishna will be pleased. So we just try to please the devotees, and there's plenty of them, and they don't. And there's another interesting point in that story of Dhruva Maharaj when he came back from seeing Vishnu. Remember he did his austerities and he came back and he saw Vishnu. It said that the offenses that were committed to him before he went and saw Vishnu, when he wasn't considered at that time, you know, Krishna realized, it said that those offenses were retroactive after he became a pure devotee. So after he became a pure devotee, those offenses that were committed to him before he was a devotee became now more intense. So his stepmother, she got some difficulty from that. So the way that it's written in the purport is that devotees, regardless of what position any of them are in, this process, you'll become a pure devotee. We're ripe, unripe mangoes, but we're mangoes. So we're all considered pure devotees, we're just not ripe, as opposed to mixed devotees, which are demigod worshippers and other different aspects, the way the Vedic language is spoken. There are different kinds, even though there's the 81 varieties of mixed devotional service, and this way Prabhupada explained it, so the green mango. So the thing is, you respect all devotees, even if they just say Hare Krishna, nectar devotion says in your mind you respect them. So that's something that we can all work on, ready to offer all respects to others, so that all, that's got a lot of hidden meaning in that one, you know. What's all respect mean? You know, maybe just a little.
Just thinking of something around that, I read something where a girlfriend or her boyfriend, they were driving around one day together all day, and he kept waving and saying hi to every stranger he saw. And even people wouldn't wave, and he kept doing it. And she said, "Why are you doing that?" And he said, I read somewhere where somebody was going to commit suicide, and because somebody said hi to them, they actually didn't commit suicide." And so I was thinking, maybe, you know, we commit spiritual suicide all the time by not coming or not, you know, coming to Prabhupada. Yeah. So if we're actually really kind to each other, it could actually, you know, help somebody not to commit this spiritual suicide.
That's a nice point. And there's a point that someone who studied Buddhist philosophy once said that at the simplest little charity you can give to someone else is a smile. He says, so whoever you see, if you just smile, that's giving charity. So we stand there. Thank you very much. All glories of power.